Hello, this is Mohit.
Hi, this is Shubhra.
And we are sumo wrestlers.
No, I disagree. I don't think we should be sumo wrestlers. It's just a placeholder for now. And we'll come up with a better name at some point of time.
So, we had a lot of time on our hands and we thought that we should record a podcast. We did not know what the podcast would be about, but we have long conversations that we thought recording would be a good idea. The more I'm thinking about it right now, it seems like a bad idea.
Okay, anyway, so we are going to talk about your phones, the phones of 2020. So what are the phones that you have owned in this year?
So, I think I have had a rather adventurous year. I generally do not spend a lot of money on phones.
Sure.
Or rather, I would say ki I have spent more on technology this year vis-a-vis last year. But I think that is true for everybody because staying indoors, I think technology has become a very integral part of our lives, and it's an escape from just the boring reality of indoors. And I think all of us who can afford to have been spending more on tech. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think this year I've also had the most number of gadget purchases as compared to any other year before. So, yeah, I would agree.
So, what did you, let's start with that. What did you end up buying this year?
So I think in the beginning I got an iPad and an Apple Pencil to go along with it. And I used that for making notes in my college and a couple of other things that I've been trying out, like digital art, etc. And I also purchased my iPhone 12 this year.
Fan goal.
Yeah, so those are the two big purchases. That I've made this year. Nothing when compared to the purchases that you have made this year.
Hey. Do not point fingers.
Okay.
So, anyway, coming back to my phones. So, I started the year on a very unfortunate event. My iPhone XR, which had served me for quite a long time, broke because I was using it out of my case and I was fully confident in my abilities to not drop it anymore. And I dropped it and it broke. And I kept using it because it was such a good phone that got the job done so well that I kept using it until the little glass pieces kept catching in my beard, and I was like, this needs to stop. But when I had bought that phone, I was working, and now because I'm in a B school, I'm not working anymore, so I could not afford to buy an iPhone. So I settled on the OnePlus 7T, which is a great phone. I would say that the OnePlus 7T served me as well as the iPhone, and I could practically not tell any differences except the certain apps that are only a part of the App Store. It has a great screen, and I think the screen is a 90 Hz display, and it's AMOLED, and the iPhone XR did not have an AMOLED display, so the AMOLED display is basically something where the blacks are completely turned off. So that part of the screen is not lit, so it produces a very contrasty, punchy image. And the display was good. The phone was really good and it charged really fast, like all OnePlus phones. So I kept using it I used it for like 6 months. And during that time, lockdown happened and we spent a lot more time on our phones because we were watching a lot more Netflix and we were texting more, and video calls became a thing. and then we were playing a lot of online games with our friends. So, and during this time, I was also some interning, and I got my stipend, and I was like, this phone is really good, but there's a OnePlus 8 Pro. So, and the OnePlus 8 Pro was the first OnePlus phone to have all the features that I consider essential for a flagship.
Okay, but you ended up not buying the OnePlus 8 Pro, partly because of me.
But also because it was never available when it launched, I think because of COVID-related shortages or whatever, it was never in stock. Like, how do you buy a phone that's not in stock? I can't help it.
Yeah, I think we tried from a couple of different Amazon accounts all together. I think we involved my sister and we ended up trying to buy it every time the sale went live. But I don't know, it was just sold out in a couple of seconds, I guess. And it was never available in the color that you wanted, which was ultramarine blue.
Yes, it was ultramarine blue. I had forgotten it was called. You would imagine that it would, like, a word like ultramarine would be preceded by green.
No.
Don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so you didn't buy that. And then we sort of went into the purchase of the Note 20 Ultra.
Yeah.
Pre-ordering of the Note 20 Ultra.
So, I would preface this by saying that I'm a consumer. I love looking at ads. I love product launches. I love opening boxes. I love buying things. It's very privileged, very elitist. I am aware of all of those shortcomings. But I love buying new, flashy things. And to their credit, Samsung made a huge splash when they launched the Note 20 Ultra. It was this big, huge thing that for the first time, like every year, every phone has a color, right? Every gadget is like, there are many colors available, but there is one color in which they send to all the reviewers, which they market it as the color. Like for the iPhone 12, it's the blue color. For OnePlus, it's sometimes blue, sometimes red, it keeps changing. But for Note 20 Ultra, they went with bronze gold, which is such a bold choice, and it was so flashy and so many features. It had 120Hz, it had a huge battery, huge phone. You can write on the phone, and you know how much I love writing on electronic things. And so,
and it also had a great exchange.
Yeah.
Offer on it.
Yeah, so Samsung rightly, I think, anticipated that people would need a little bit of a nudge to purchase such an expensive phone. So they offered almost or little more than between 2/3 and 3/4 of my OnePlus 7T they were offering. So I was like, maine ye phone, I used it for a couple of months, it's old. It's like I paid 5 to 6,000 for using this phone for not couple of months also. I think 6 months.
6 months.
Huh. So 6 months. That is like, that's fine. And I'll get a new one. And then I got it.
So you got great value and you ended up buying.
No, great value on my return.
We'll get there. So you got what was supposed to be great value on this really expensive, really flashy, really great phone, the Note 20 Ultra. And then you ended up keeping it for 1 month or 2 months? Less than that?
2 months.
2 months.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you exchanged it with somebody for an S20.
Ultra.
S20 Ultra, okay.
Yeah. I ended up selling the S20 Ultra also, and I bought an iPhone 12 Pro. That is my phone journey this year. The year is about to end. Yeah. Probably nobody's going to drop a mega phone before the end of the year. So that's the closing of my tech year. I'm going to close it with the 12 Pro Max. So, Anyway.
So before we sort of proceed to discuss all of these phones and, you know, what you liked or didn't like, maybe we can also talk about what you use your phone for in a day. Because, you know, there are different kinds of people. Like I, for example, I think I use my phone for very, very basic things. Calling, texting, a couple of apps that I use very commonly. Recently, I've started using these fitness apps, but that's about it.
So, I am a power user. What that means is, there are different kinds of power users also. There are people who play only games on their phones, but they're really intense about those games on their phones, and those can be power users as well. But I'm a different kind of a power user. I would say I'm a B-school student, so I use office apps heavily. I use a web browser heavily and a few other apps because I'm also into product management. I use heavily. So for each of those tasks that you would do on any sort of a computational device, if there is a good app for it, I would do it on my phone. I think it started in my college when I had a smartphone, but my parents were really worried about me getting distracted if I had a full PC. So they didn't give me a laptop, which like somehow made sense to them, because smartphone is more essential than a laptop. But fine. So I just got used to doing a lot of things on my smartphone, and I genuinely think that these days, the smartphone and tablet apps are more polished than desktop software. Desktop software is old and clunky with features nobody wants to use so much. So I'm a power user. I use my phone like there hasn't been a phone with any sort of battery that I have not regularly drained in one day. There has, but again, like some phones last longer than others. So I'm a power user. I use it for social media, for productivity. I use Excel, Word. I don't use PowerPoint. I play games, and I play heavy games and some light mobile games also. Like I play Call of Duty Mobile, but I also play Altos at Odyssey. And I just use it to control some smart home gadgets that I may have also bought this year.
And I think before the lockdown happened, you also, I mean, YouTube was a big part of your phone use. You watch a lot of videos.
Yeah.
And not only YouTube,
Netflix. So I think this is for a fact, okay? The best screen in anybody's house for 99% of the people is going to be their phone. It is going to be a full HD or more than full HD screen with the best colors, and it probably supports high dynamic range. So I just think if I'm going to watch a movie or a video, why not watch it on the best screen I have available to me?
Yeah. Okay. So that is basically, you know, that covers all the things that you like to do on your phone in a day. And we can sort of dial it back and go back to the phones, the four phones that you had this year. And we can start with, because, you know, I would assume that you remember all of this. We can start with the spec sheet for all of these phones. Like, you know, what was the thing that you remember that stood out for you? Because all of these are flagship phones of these respective companies, right? Was there anything distinctive or...
Also, all these three phones have three different processors. The OnePlus 7T has... Technically, it is a last year's flagship. Mm-hmm. So, it has a previous generation processor. The Samsung has their own version of processor, which they sell in India. And Apple has their own processor. So Samsung has Exynos 990 and Apple has A14. And the OnePlus 7T had the Snapdragon 855 Plus. If I were to rate these processors, the Samsung is pure garbage. It is probably worse than what Samsung put out last year. I can guarantee you that the power per watt, which is a metric that you would use to measure a phone, ki how powerful your processor given the amount of power it consumes, because any processor can consume a huge amount of power, and like in your desktop PC, but your phone has a battery, right? So power per watt has definitely gone down, which never happens. Like, it's almost unheard of to happen in a phone. Like, it's so easy to make it more efficient because ARM is just an, like we'll get into very technical stuff, but I would say that Samsung just like produce a really bad processor this year. And then like the part that make, like, when, just to summarize it quickly, what I hate the most is they produced this shit processor, and then the market where they operate in, like countries like Korea and, you know, other countries where they sell the phone for much cheaper. And if you look it up, because I did look it up, their profit margins are also much lower because they are much more competitive markets and this price range. They didn't put their own processor. They put it in India. And they put it in other in Europe, and they put it in other countries where people are not as tech savvy and people might not look into all of these things. Or rather, I don't think it's fair to say people are not as tech savvy, but where it's more of a prestige device. Like, a lot of these devices are so out of reach for most of these Indians, most of us, that, like, for me also, like, this is like the first thing that I spent 1 lakh rupees on, and okay, it was just bad. Like, they should not have sold it in India. It's a disservice to the Indian consumer. The fact that people don't know this makes me really mad.
So this is about the Exynos processor. But did you have a slightly better experience with the S20? Because that was a Snapdragon.
Yeah, so that is the problem. Note 20 Ultra and S20 Ultra, and I've used both, are the same phone, bar very few differences. I can list the differences. The battery on the Note is slightly smaller. The camera has a better auto-focusing system. The display refresh rate is not fixed and is adaptive. And it has an S Pen. These are the only differences, right? Having said that, because my S20 Ultra was from South Korea, it had the Snapdragon processor. And it's just night and day. The Note 20 struggled to even reach 4 hours of continuous use. And like, I would have to baby it so much. And the S20 Ultra from South Korea never died on me. It just never died on me. And that is such an important thing. And like, I just like, we will go into the software experience later, but just the S20 Ultra is much better from South Korea. It was much better than the Indian version of what would be the same phone.
Understood. So you keep talking about, all of these issues that you had. So we can get into the problems just after this. But is there any, feature of each of these phones that you loved, or, if you had to tell people why they should buy? I mean, now nobody is probably buying the OnePlus 7T because OnePlus has their newer versions out. But if you had to tell people that, okay, this is the feature, and if you really require this feature, then you can opt for this ultra expensive phone, what would that feature be for each of these phones?
You buy the Note 20 for the S Pen, but the battery is so bad you should not buy it.
Okay.
You buy the S20 because S20 is a worse Note 20. But both of those models for the Indian consumer are so bad that you should just not buy it. Like, it's a great phone if you want to take notes on the phone, but the phone should stay on long enough so that you can take notes on the phone. So, like, there are 5 pillars of a good phone. There's battery, camera, build quality, software, and display. And you can't mess up, like, everything else. You can only buy a phone in 2020 when the market is so mature if all of these 5 pillars are first satisfied. And in Samsung's case, the battery is just not good enough. So
at least for the Exynos version. It's definitely.
But that's the one that matters to us. No, we live in India.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if you can get your hands on the Snapdragon, you should
They don't offer warranty. They're not like Apple. Yeah. This is one more thing with Samsung. Buying a 1 lakh rupee phone, give me a worldwide warranty. What the fuck is this shit?
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, we should go a little bit more in depth of the issues that you faced with each of these phones. So with the Note 20 Ultra, I think the problem started with the battery life, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what was the issue? Like, what? I mean, I know that you used to use the phone and you got what? 4.5, 5 hours?
4 hours if you use it. Like, I use all my phones.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 hours if you baby it, 5.5 hours if you just turn off Wi-Fi at the moment you are not using it and just really take care of it. And I had spent a lot of money on that phone, like half of my stipend, and close to half, less than half, but like a big amount.
Hmm.
A third, exactly a third. But that's the thing, no, I was really trying to love it. So I was doing I googled stuff, I read up online. I was like, I was convinced something is wrong with me, because such an expensive phone from such an experienced company cannot be so bad.
Okay. And your experience with the S20 was much better when it came to the battery life.
See,
but you
because it had all the 5 things nailed down. So, like, as I said, so it was in my eyes a competent phone, and it had some things that no other phones offered. So,
like what?
So, Samsung has a monopoly on AMOLED displays, and their phones always get one of the best, if not the best, displays. So, it has the best display, and its cameras are quite good. Better than OnePlus for sure. And apart from that, I would say Samsung Pay. Again, the Korean version of Samsung Pay is different from the Indian version of Samsung Pay. So Samsung Pay also doesn't work in India. But Samsung Pay, if it does work, is great, because not only does it work with NFC devices, it also works with your old school card readers, because it can mimic a magnetic strip. So that is really good if you have it, but I didn't have it, so I don't know if I can give S20 Ultra points for that. And what else? Yeah, that's about it.
So you still, I mean, it's a good phone, a competent phone, few issues, but you still chose to jump ship and buy the iPhone 12 Pro Max, for which we dropped another bombshell in terms of
another third of my stipend gone.
Yeah. So what is the reason why you have jumped ship?
So as I said, when you asked, I think it was quite telling. I didn't think about it before, but when you asked me what is the essential value that you got in a Samsung product over and above the 5 bases that every phone has to cover, I had very little to say. I just think Samsung dropped the ball this year. Not only that, there are things that when you are spending that amount of money, you should just not be having problems like that. There are bug issues in the Samsung's implementation of Android. Like Android, we are on Android 11, okay? And Android, unlike iOS, has not historically been increasing its version number every year. So it's a 14-15 year old operating system. It should not be having the kind of bugs at the level which they do. Apps would glitch out, they would not stay in memory. It has 12 gigs of RAM, everything should stay in memory. Apart from that, certain apps would just not adapt to the aspect ratio, so there would be black bars, there would be just in odd places, sometimes on the side, sometimes on the top. Very rare. These are like apps, like I'm a power user, I use some arcane apps also. So problems with those apps which have not been updated. But there are issues. The user experience is not smooth. it has been smoother in the past. I have owned a Note 9 many years ago. Two years, three years ago. 2018. It was much smoother than this. This is not smooth at all. And like this is, no, no, it is smooth. Sorry, it is, I won't say it is not smooth. It's much less smoother. And this regression, how does this regression happen? Like, that's my problem. Like, there are multiple, at multiple, like I'll give you examples, okay? I own a Galaxy Watch also. Yeah. So it should work perfectly with my Samsung phone. Samsung has an Uber app on this, on their Galaxy store for the watch. It does not work in India. Why is it listed in the Indian app store for the watch? There are many other apps. Like the, there is a Starva app for the Galaxy Watch that syncs to the Samsung smartphone. But it does not update any details to the Samsung, to the actual Starva timeline. Okay, then there is the Samsung, like there is a Samsung theming engine which is supposed to theme your entire phone, and it breaks down in a lot of change when you're trying to make, it just breaks down and reverts back to the default settings of the phone every once in a while. So you will go in there to change your wallpaper and you'll end up with big icons, default icons, and just everything out of whack, and that takes up a solid 30 minutes of my time to fix it back up. And it's a tool, no, I should be using it and then not thinking about it. I should not be thinking about fixing it.
So, you talked about your Galaxy Watch, and, you know, now you've sort of reached the
peak gadget.
The question about ecosystem, right? Like, when you had this Apple iPhone XR, you also had your iPad. And you also have, you do, right?
No, but
now,
I don't think we should address ecosystem. I don't think most people in India
buy
into the ecosystem thing. And I think we should look at it as individual product. I brought up the Galaxy Watch because the software glitches, and I researched these glitches on Samsung's own forums, Reddit, everywhere where I, XDA developers are on the phone. The API that pushes data from the Samsung Watch to Starva works on the phone. It should work properly. Like Samsung Health app is running on the phone and it is syncing to Starva. The sync happens on the phone. It's not working properly. It's a phone issue. We should definitely get into ecosystems, but that's a edge case. Like I would assume no, but like people, there are very few people like me who just I got a Galaxy Watch because I wanted to get that Samsung experience, and I was really expecting a lot. They have a Starva logo on the box.
Okay, so we've become very technical in this conversation. And I don't think most people, or people like me, approach technology in this way. When they're buying a phone, they look at the ads, or they, hear about it from their friends, and they hear about some
features. And they use it for many years.
What do you mean?
They use their phones for many.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they look at a few features, and they make their decision. So, and cost is often a very big factor. So, why would, give me five, or, give me the reasons why you would think that somebody should spend, it costs 20,000 more to buy an iPhone 12 Pro Max and not buy Samsung's flagship phone?
So, first of all, the iPhone that you buy anywhere in the world is the same iPhone. The Indian version of Samsung phones is marketed, it is worse. It is considerably worse than what they sell abroad. So, as a first reason should be ki I am valuing my money. I am not going to buy this worse product that you are selling in my market. But not only is it worse compared to the Note 20 Ultra abroad, it is worse compared to the iPhone in India. Like the battery life is, I would say, exactly half of what the iPhone offers this year. So you are paying 20K extra for 0.1, the battery life. 0.2, software updates. Samsung launched amid much fanfare this year that they are going to support their phone for 3 full years of software update. And as we said, a lot of these phones are either going to be used for at least 2 years and also might be resold, right?
Yeah.
So if you're like it's a joke when it's compared to iPhones, the iPhone SE which launched in I think 2016 or 17 is still getting updates. So basically, like Samsung's 3 years, which is like unusual in the Android community because they just don't update their phones. Like if you're spending money, you're spending money for that prolonged support. Not only does it mean that you have the most up-to-date phone and you get that update the day it launches, not 6 months after like Samsung does it. Mm-hmm. And but also when you go to sell off your phone, it probably retains a higher price. If you go on OLX and you see the average selling price of iPhones, they retain far more of their value than Android phones. So basically, even if you are paying the same amount of money and then you end up selling them, you end up selling the iPhone for 20K more, you are not really... Yeah, like, you know, paying a difference in price, if you think about it that way.
True, okay. We did end up selling your iPhone XR this year. And I mean, I believe that for a phone that was so old, we ended up getting...
Yeah, 2.5 years old, and we got more than half... Like, I bought it for 50 and we sold it for 25. And if we had done it properly, we might have even sold it for 27. But the point is, we were getting close to half and even more than half of its value. And... the Note 20 Ultra right now on OLX is not going for half of its value. So, that's just a fact.
Yeah, oh. And it launched what? Three months ago? Damn.
Okay, so this is the second thing. The third thing is that the social media apps, and this is because in India, my iPhones are not popular. This is not a known thing, but like my family lives in Singapore and my sister lives in the US and I watch a lot of American content. So, like, we are constantly switching devices. So, but it's like the social media apps are run completely differently on iOS and Android. The implementation is different. Like, it's a night and day difference. If you're spending that amount of money, I'm assuming that you want the best experience. So, at that level, I'll tell you. You go to take an Instagram story. What Instagram on Android usually does is taking a screen grab of the camera app. So it's recording the screen of the camera which is open. So what it is essentially doing is giving you a worse quality picture within the app, right? And iPhone has proper APIs in place, so the photo quality within the Instagram app is just going to be better. If you don't take it using the Instagram app, then what ends up happening is the aspect ratio of stories is so weird that it will get cropped and cut in weird places, which is also interesting because iPhones use a standard crop ratio, so your photos don't get cut off. And matlab, in Android, the aspect ratio is not fixed, it is free. So depending on the screen of your phone, you would capture and post a story and I could view it and half of it will be cut off because my phone is older or has a different aspect ratio.
And for Instagram, we recently, remember that filter that we were trying?
Filters are broken on Android. They are absolutely shit. Like because they don't have a tracking system in the front of the screen. And you know, this is a trade-off. Apple has an ugly ass forehead on the phone, and but they have a true depth system to capture your face, and Samsung has a full screen display with a very tiny hole in it, but they don't have that system, so the filters are trash. And I think you have to make the call.
So now we've covered what, three reasons why you should...
Fourth reason is just there are more accessories for these phones. If you're buying such an expensive phone, you want good cases, you want to swap cases, you want good chargers, you want wireless chargers, you want things that are exclusively made for your phone. If you're buying that phone, you probably have a good car, you want to put up the phone in your car. There should be something that fits your phone well. These are huge phones, you don't want them to fall in your car. So there should be mounts that are made exclusively for your phone. You should have a lot of things that are just made for your phone and function, serve you well for the 2 years that you end up owning the phone. And iPhone has that advantage. And the last thing is, like, coming back to your original question, it's that ecosystem. Like, The Galaxy Watch is a mess. It has no app support. The apps that work are broken. And all the developers that I have personally emailed have told me it's Samsung's fault. They did not provide the tools necessary to build the apps for their platform. So why would you want to spend money? Spend money on OnePlus. It's like the OnePlus 7T is a much better phone than the Note 20 Ultra. And I personally take offense at all the YouTube reviewers who told me otherwise and made me spend 1 lakh rupees.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, I think the last question that I kind of want to ask you is that now we have... Say, fine, we have arrived at this conclusion that we should this year at least go for the iPhone 12.
Or OnePlus. You can go for OnePlus. Yeah, if you are hardcore Android and I am like, I understand you want that Google Assistant, you want multi-app, on, you want to run two apps side by side, you want that Android thing, then go for OnePlus. Don't go for Samsung this year.
Okay, fine. So, I mean, we have two iPhones in the house right now. We have iPhone 12 and we have the iPhone 12 Pro Max. So, I mean, and though the iPhone 12 is my phone, I know that you have spent quite a lot of time on that phone also. And, you know, if somebody didn't want to pay out so much, do you think buying the iPhone 12 is a better, I mean, is a place to spend your money?
Yeah, I would say iPhone 12 is a good place to be. I would say the iPhone 11 is an even better place to be. Right now, the iPhone 11 costs 54,000 rupees. It is a very reasonable price. I think OnePlus should be very scared. And I'll tell you why. It's a last year's model. But because Apple's processors are better than whatever Qualcomm offers for Androids, their last year's processors have not caught up to the iPhone 11. So it's a faster phone with a better camera but a worse display, but with waterproofing and wireless charging and years of software support and accessories that come with an iPhone and the ecosystem advantages. So I think the best iPhone, if you're not a tech nerd like me, would be the iPhone 11. If you can sort of be like okay with a worse screen is going to be worse, but if you are that's not okay for you, then go with OnePlus.
Fine. So we have a couple of good phones this year and nobody buy the Note 20 Ultra or the S20. That's the conclusion.
Yeah, that's the conclusion.